Hug somebody's neck and you can be seated. Oh my gosh, my son is 23, and when I walked up on the stage from playing the drums, he went, whew. He couldn't even hardly keep up on that one. Praise the Lord, man. Welcome. Glad you're here. It's always good to come hang out. How many love Wednesday nights in the house of the Lord? Yeah. So glad you're here. So tonight, if you got your Bible, you have your phone, your iPad, however it is that you read the Word of God, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off in the book of Ephesians. We're going to continue to stay in the book of Ephesians until we complete that. So tonight we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse number 8. We're going to read through 16. And when we get through with that verse, we will pray and then ask the Holy Spirit to help us unpack this and teach us and speak to us tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 8, says, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." In saying that he ascended, what does it mean that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part of the body is working properly, it makes the body to grow up so that it builds itself up in love. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us tonight. Lord, take the words, let them leap off the page. Lord, anoint me. Let not my words be my words, but let them be your words. Challenge each one of us, different seasons that we're in, different places that we're in, different ages. God, speak to all of us where we are. We want to mature. We want to grow. We want to be all that we can be for your glory. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. The first thing that I want us to see in this scripture, it says, when he ascended on high. And I know this is elementary, and I know this seems to be something that we should learn the fundamentals of our Christianity, but I just want to remind you something tonight, that the God that we're worshiping and the God that we're singing about and the God that we have placed our hope in, he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. That he descended first and he came from heaven and he took upon flesh and he lived upon this earth 33 years and he knew what it was like to suffer and he knew what it was like to be hungry, and he knew what it was like for friends to betray him. He knew what it was like to be a human, and they took him and he lived a sinless life, and they falsely accused him, and they took him and they beat him. They tied him to the whipping post and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they made him carry his own cross up the Via Dolorosa to the top of Golgotha Hill, where they stretched him high and they stretched him wide, and they crucified our Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And today we are not worshiping some statue, and we're not worshiping some empty grave. We are worshiping a Savior that is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think. I don't know about you, but sometimes the struggles of life, sometimes the darkness, and sometimes the depression, and sometimes the struggle of marriage and parenting and finances, and the struggle of a post-Christian nation that we live in, sometimes we just need to be reminded that God is alive and he's on the throne and he's still moving on our behalf. Jesus ascended. He rose victorious. He rose the champion. He is alive. And the scripture in Ephesians says this, when he arose, he led captives to freedom. I wonder how many of us could say that we have been captives at one time in our life, that we've been slaves, that we've been shackled to something. We've been shackled to depression, shackled to generational curses, shackled to an old man or an old way. We've been shackled to this sin that has held us down. We've drug around this ball and chain. Jesus, when he ascended, he came to set his people free. And it is high time we start living in the freedom that Christ paid for you and I. Because I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to be real with you. Last Sunday was 23 years that we've been pastoring, and for 23 years that we've been pastoring, I've been watching a lot of people come to church on a regular basis, and I'm not doubting their love for God, and I'm not doubting their salvation, but I've been watching them drag this ball and chain around for 20-something years and never living in the freedom that Jesus paid for them to live in. And it's time that we be forgiven of our sins, and it's time that we live as the free, as where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's time that we live in freedom. Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. He says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Do not submit to the yoke of slavery. I was a slave to my sin. I was a slave. How many of you have ever been a slave to your mistakes? You made a mistake. You made a mistake in your marriage. You made a mistake in your singleness. You made a mistake in with your children. You made a mistake. You made a mistake, and for the last 5 or 6 years, the enemy has been reminding you of the mistakes that you made and trying to label you and trying to make you feel unworthy and trying to bring condemnation on you. I don't know about you, but I made a lot of mistakes. Can I hear a good amen? But let me tell you something. I've been set free from my mistakes. Our past, our failures, our insecurities. I wonder how many of us, can we be real? How many of us struggle with insecurities in here tonight? Insecurities, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tough enough. I can't fight good enough. I'm not a good enough cowboy. I don't have enough money. I don't have the right color hair. My figure is not what Hollywood says it's supposed to be. We struggle with all of those insecurities. And so once again, we're not labeled by that. We're labeled by the blood of Jesus Christ. We should be set free from depression, from hate, from unforgiveness, from bitterness, from our inadequacies. You and I got to be careful that we don't submit once again to the slavery and the yoke of bondage that once held us captive. Because you know what? We all struggle. Let me tell you a story about me. When I was a kid growing up, my daddy dipped Skoll. And y'all know what I mean, know what I'm talking about. Not Copenhagen, but Skoll. Skoll fine cut wintergreen. Come on, somebody. From a little boy, I wanted to dip Skoll. Boy, I'd dip it and I'd puke and I'd dip it and I'd puke. And I finally got where I could handle it and I dipped it for years. Boy, I'm telling you, I love Skoll long cut wintergreen. 2 cans a day is what I dipped. They said I was the most level-headed man they know, because when I dipped it, I chewed on it so much it ran out of both corners of my mouth, met in the middle, and dripped right down the bottom. I love Skoll, man. I wanted to get set free. I was a slave to dipping snuff. I'm just telling you, I was. I was a slave, and man, I asked the Lord, help me, help me, help me. And you know what? By the power and the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, I quit for 2 years. And then one time I was with some of my friends, and we were playing golf. And I am not a golfer. You can tell by the way I just played like that right there. I'm not a golfer. But we were playing golf one day. I'd been quit for 2 years. And this guy pulled out a can of Skoll fine cut wintergreen, and he opened that can, and when he popped the lid, that wind caught it just right, and I'm sure the devil caught it and brought it right to my nose, and I smelled it, and I thought, whoo! And I said to myself, surely I can take a dip of this Skoll, and I can play 18 holes of golf, and I can enjoy this thing, man. Surely I'm strong enough. I said, look, give me a dip of that snuff, boy. I got me a big old dip of that snuff, and we got to about hole 15. I told him, adios, boys. Golf's over. I drove the golf cart up there. I got my golf clubs. I threw them in the back of my truck, fired it up, and as fast as I could, I drove down to the first convenience store, and I bought me a can of Skoll fine cut wintergreen, and I dipped it 4 more years. Submitted myself to the yoke and to the bondage, to the thing that had held me down for many years. I could have blamed that other guy. I could have blamed my dad for being addicted first. I could have blamed the tobacco industry. But at the end of the day, I made a decision to submit myself to the yoke of bondage and slavery that once held me captive. Can I tell you something right now, y'all? Only you can submit yourself to the yoke and bondage of slavery that holds you down. You and I have the power to say no to bondage, or we have the weakness to say yes to the things that hold us down. We got to quit blaming everybody else, and we got to quit looking everywhere else, because Scripture says Jesus set us free. Now we have got to not submit. We can submit to the weakness, or we can submit to the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. To yield ourselves, to give it over. Don't even allow it. How many know the enemy knows exactly where to tempt us? Can I hear a good amen? And when it comes into our mind, oh, Cody, get you a dip of that snuff. Oh, Cody, get you some of that skull. Oh, girl, go do this. Oh, guy, go do this. When it comes into our mind, we have the gift of discernment by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the weapons that we have to fight this fight are not carnal, but they are spiritual, and they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And when the enemy tries to get us to submit in our mind, we should take that thought captive, throw it out, and renew our mind and live as the new man and not the old person. Jesus came to set us free. See, the enemy, can I be real with y'all tonight? You know what the enemy tempts us with? The very thing that we're weak about. He tempted me with snuff. He tempted me with these things. See, like, am I just tell you, can I tell you tonight? The enemy doesn't tempt me with porno. I've never been attracted to it. I just never have. I've got a lot of things wrong, but I've never had wandering eyes. Like, I got one woman, dear Lord, I'd never want another one after this one, you know? Like the enemy just has never tempted me with those things. The enemy tempts me with a little bit of anger. The enemy tempts me with a little bit of vengeance, because that's kind of the way that I am. And so you and I got to be careful. And I'm moving on after this. But you and I have got to be careful, because the enemy is going to tempt us with the very things that we were once in bondage to. The very things. Some of you, it's your insecurities. Some of you, you're insecure. You're insecure, and the enemy will continue to tempt you with that insecurity, and you have to realize that's what it is, and you have to say, no, I am secure, and I am enough, because Jesus paid for me to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Some of you, it's insecurity. Some of you, it's unworthiness. Some of you have the victim mentality in here. You think everybody's out to get you. You think you're never going to be good enough. You think God is not for you. That is a yoke and a bondage of slavery that the enemy has placed on your life. And you got to cast that junk out and not submit yourself back to that yoke of bondage. I could go on and on. It's this poor, pitiful me. Some of you, it's porno. Some of you, it's alcohol. Some of you, it's anger and jealousy and rage. Some of you, it's sexual sin. For some of you, it's self-righteousness, glory to God, and pride. Because you're better than everyone else. Whatever the enemy is tempting us with is what we once were in bondage to. How many will agree it's the one or two things that I always try to go back to? Jesus set us free of those things. So don't submit yourself once again, because, man, I'm not even going to get where I want to go tonight. Because John 8:36 says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And there's danger in bondage. I'm moving on after this, I promise. Are you with me? Can I hear you say a good amen? Whatever your bondage is, whatever the enemy, there's a reason the enemy wants you to get bound up. Because Mark 3:27 says this, no one can enter into a strong person's house and steal their goods unless he first bind them up, and then he will steal everything they've got. If you and I are living in the freedom that Christ has given us, I'm not perfect, but my Savior is. You know what? I'm not my mistakes. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I am no longer a child that no one loves. I'm adopted in the family of God. I used to be weak, but now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we live in the freedom and we live in the truth of the Word of the God, the enemy cannot steal from you. But if you let him get you bound up, with just a little bit of porno, with just a little bit of this self-righteousness, with just a little bit of this poor pitiful me. He'll bind you up and he'll come into your life and your home and he'll steal everything you've got. Jesus rose and he set us free and he wants us to live free. When Jesus rose, he set us free. And then the scripture says that he gave gifts to his people. He gave gifts to his people. I want to challenge every one of you in here tonight. Each one of you, as a child of God, you have been given gifts by our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Gifts that you can use that will enhance your life. Gifts that you can use that will bring glory to the name of Almighty God. We've all been given some sort of gifts. We got to tap into our gift. We got to embrace our gifts. Can I tell you, Christ knew what he was doing when he gave you the gifts that he gave you. Because your gifts will fit your personality. They will fit your DNA. They will fit who you are. We have to tap into the Spirit of God and figure out what our gifts are and then operate in our gifts. Can I tell you, there is no greater fulfillment than tapping into the gifts that God has given you and watching those gifts work in your life. I'm a preacher. It's what I do. I get fulfillment out of preaching the Word of God and watching people get saved. Like Connor and Jesse and Will and all these people on the band, they have been given these gifts to play music. And I'm telling you, when they play music and they watch you worship, it brings a fulfillment to their life. Billy has been given the gift of helps, and he works and he does stuff here. It brings fulfillment to our life. We have to tap into what our gift is and then use our gift for the glory of Almighty God. It will bring satisfaction and fulfillment like nothing else. Some of the gifts that Christ gave us. You can write this down here. We don't have time for it tonight. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. You can read through these when you're at home. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of administration. Kay Hager has the gift of administration. Discernment, the gift of faith, the gift of giving, the gift of healing, the gift of helps, the gift of hospitality, of mercy, knowledge, wisdom, leadership, prophecy, tongues, shepherding, all these different gifts. God, when the scripture says when Jesus ascended, he gave us all a gift. You need to find out, spend some time with God, find out what your gift is. Know your gift. Know your gift, seek your gift, use your gift, excel in your gift, sharpen your gift, and use the gifts that God has given you every day of your life. Don't just use them on Sunday. Don't just use them at the church. Use your gifts with your family. Use your gift with your kid. Use your gifts with the people that you work with. Use your gifts, all your gifts. Can I tell you, God gave gifts, and you know what? Every gift is of equal value and importance to the body of Christ. Can I just say that? Because sometimes we get a little super spiritual when it comes to these gifts. Because we feel like, oh, well, God gave me this gift. And we get just a little arrogant. And I've got, can I just tell you what? It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't get enough check marks by your name. It's a gift. God gave it to you. And the gift of preaching and the gift of tongues and the gift of helps and the gift of giving and the gifts of administration, they are all equal and none are more spiritual than the other ones. What we got to do is we got to tap into our gift, because if we all use our gifts, our God-given gifts, if we all use our gifts, it will edify the church and the church will begin to grow and people's lives will be saved. Can I say this right quick to y'all for real? Quit trying to operate in somebody else's gift. Quit it. Quit. It's all the body. God knows. Quit trying to be the preacher. We got a preacher over here. Come on, somebody. Stop. Operate in your gift. Start small. You go, Cody, this is a bunch for me. Cody, you know what? Here's what it is. Start using your gift. If you have the gift of hospitality, girls, start being hospitable to your husband and your children. Oh, y'all got quiet. You got to start somewhere. Because that, okay, can I tell you something? That's what people do in church. They get them a gift, and by golly, they've been a nut, and they've been crazy, and they've been running wild for 2 years, and all of a sudden, they get them a gift, and they get right with the Lord, and they show up, and they say, Cody, I want to use my gift at church. Well, you know what? Those that are faithful in the little, God says, I'll give you much. So you know what? If you want to start using your gift, start somewhere small. I may not see it, but the Lord sees it. And if God sees us being hospitable, and if God sees us being helpful, and if God sees us using our gift in the little places, he will raise us up to bigger places and give us an opportunity to share our gift for the body of Christ. God's given us gift. Find out what your gift is. Be faithful with your gift. God ascended, Jesus ascended, and he gave gifts to people. And watch verse number 11. Then God gives gifts to the body of Christ. God gave gift to the body of Christ. What are the gifts that God gave to the body of Christ? Verse number 11. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Can I just tell you, look at me right quick. I am God's gift to you. God gave gifts to the church, and he gave them apostles. What are the apostles? Apostles are ones that are sent with a mission. Remember, he had 12 apostles, and he said, go. You got a mission. Go share the good news. He gave the gift of apostles. It's for the church. He gave the gift of prophets. What is a prophet? A prophet is not just some old woman with a wart on her nose and a crooked finger that will read your mail and tell you what's going to happen in the future. A prophet, by definition, is an inspired speaker, someone that speaks inspirational, brings the glory of God. What is an evangelist? It's not just some guy with a $100 haircut and a $1,000 suit that's hired to come into the local church and preach a revival for 4 days. It's called an evangelist. An evangelist is a bringer of good news. We could all be some sort of evangelist. We can all bring good news. Shepherds, ones that watch over the sheep, that guard, that care for, that feed. There's teachers, ones who instruct and give us knowledge. God gave these people certain gifts, and they are gifts to the body of Christ. Why did, and now we're getting to where we want to go tonight. Why did God give these gifts known as the fivefold ministry in our world, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? Why did God give those gifts to the church? Watch this, verse number 12. Why did God give you a pastor, a handsome pastor at that? Verse number 12, God gave these gifts, the fivefold ministry, to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. You know what my calling is to do? You know what God has called me to do? To equip you to do the work of the ministry. And we've distorted that in America. We've distorted that in our country. We've said the personality in the pulpit and the pastor and the preacher is the one that is supposed to do every bit of the work. When if you read the Word of God says the pastor's job is to teach the people and the sheep to use their gifts and to go and to do the work of the ministry. That way it's not all on one person, but it's totally on the body. And if the body starts doing all their part, nobody gets give out, and it's healthy, and it will grow the body up and bring glory to God. God. The pastor's job, the evangelist's job, the apostle's job, the teacher's job, it's not to hug all the babies. It's not to shake all the hands. It's not to answer every phone call. It's not to meet every need and make every hospital call and listen to every problem and tell everybody yes to everything that they want. The fivefold ministry is to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. The whole sum of the body. Using their unique gifts to serve the body of Christ. Can I tell you what church in America has become like? The NFL. You ever watch like Sunday? Guess what's coming on Sunday? Y'all know what's coming on Sunday? Super Bowl! Atta girl! I don't even know who's playing, but I can tell you what's going to go down. There'll be 65,000 people sitting in the stands watching 22 of them do all the work and get into all the action. And in the American church, there's 60,000 or 70,000 watching everybody wanting the people on the platform to do all the work of the ministry. It just is, and I'm not telling you this because I want you to feel sorry for me, and I'm not telling you that I'm overworked. This is not about me. This is about the Word of God, and it's about what makes a church healthy and what brings the kingdom to pass on this earth. It's when we all tap into our gifts. We all say, I'm here to serve, and I'm going to use my gift. And I'm not just going to use my gift on Sunday, and I'm not just going to use my gift on the platform. I'm going to use my gift with my family, and I'm going to use my gift everywhere I go. Can I tell you what would happen? Watch, I don't need to tell you, the scripture tells you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. When we do all this, until we attain to the unity of the faith, everybody in unity, everybody in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature and grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of you have tasted and seen that Christ is good? Can I hear an amen? I don't want a cup half full of Christ. I don't want a church half full of Christ. I don't want a preacher half full of Christ. I want to be the fullness of Jesus Christ. That we would no longer be like children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of the doctrine, the craftiness and the deceitful scheme, but rather we would learn to speak the truth in love, and we would grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. When we all start using our gifts, we'll be unified, we'll begin to mature. We'll walk in the fullness of Christ. We'll become stable, no more tossed to and fro. We'll come into unity and all have the vision. We'll begin to walk in the freedom of the truth, and we'll grow up in every way that Christ has called us to grow up. Connor and the worship team, I want to challenge you as we close tonight. Why don't y'all go ahead and stand on your feet and bow your heads? I want to challenge you this way tonight. When Jesus ascended on high, he led the captives free. Let's bow our heads, why don't we? I wonder how many of us know what it's like to be set free. To be set free from our mistakes. To be set free from our insecurities. And to live in the freedom that Christ paid for us. Now let's be honest. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I don't need to know. The Lord knows and you know. How many of us in this room have slipped back and submitted to the yoke and the bondage and the slavery that once held us down? We just slip back a little bit to that unworthiness. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'll never be. We slip back into that self-righteousness and that pride. We slip back into that jealousy that always keeps to come up in our minds. We were jealous when we were a kid. We slip back and allow that jealousy. We just take a moment and allow it to come in. Slip back into that victim mentality. I don't deserve this. The enemy, God's against me. Everybody's against me. We slip back into that anger. That anger at what someone did to us. And I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm just trying to bring awareness tonight, so that you can go, yes. And if the Spirit of God is speaking to your spirit right now and you feel that tug and you feel that conviction, I just ask you if you would move back to the center today and allow the Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ to come over you and to cleanse you and to set you free one more time. And for you to leave here with your head on a swivel and go, you know what? The enemy's out to get me, but I ain't letting that back in anymore. My weapons are strong and my weapons are mighty. And when the enemy tries to get me to dip skull, I'm going to cast that thought out in the name of Jesus Christ. And if some of you feel like you ain't got no gift, what can I offer? The gift of helps. Man, just help somebody. It's a gift. Our world needs help. There's old people that need help. Your neighbor needs help. Just help somebody. And helping somebody is just as spiritual and just as important as you standing up and giving some message in tongues or teaching some Bible study. Giving. Some of you have been given the gift where you can just give. Lord's blessed you financially. You can give. You can give money. You can give love. Hospitality. You may not have nothing else, but you got a home and a kitchen and an oven. You can invite somebody into your home and just be hospitable and let them feel love. God's given you a gift, and he knew what gift he was giving you. Embrace your gift and operate in your gift. I just feel led to say this. If you've been trying to operate in a certain gift and it's been unfruitful, And you've been operating in some gift, trying and trying and trying because that's what you want, and it's not fruitful. That might not be the gift that God has given you. Humble yourself and let the Lord show you what your God-given gift is. God gave leaders in the church to equip the saints, to give them knowledge of the Word of God, to give them encouragement, to inspire them so they can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Are you doing the work of the ministry in your home, y'all? We're doing this Home Sweet Home series. Are you doing work of the ministry in your home, with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, with your siblings, at where you work? Are you doing the work of the ministry? Are you shining the light? Are you using your gift? Because when we all start doing our part, Scripture says the body will be joined together, grafted together by Christ, and each part doing its proper work, it will make the body grow within itself. It's not the worship team that makes the body grow. It's not the preacher that makes the body grow. It's the church itself, the body itself begins to grow from within when we do our work and when we operate in our giftings. So Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to your people tonight as we close in worship. For some of those who brought bondages in, Holy Spirit, set them free tonight. Let them swallow their pride. Let them humble themselves tonight. Lord, set them free. Lord, set them free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I declare, I speak it as a prophetic voice. There are some people in this room that have been dragging the ball and chain. They love Jesus and they're saved and they're trying, but they've been dragging a ball and chain around. I declare by the power of God that the anointing will break every yoke of bondage, and tonight you will set them free. Insecurities will be gone. Victim mentality will be gone. Fear will be gone. Set us free to live in the freedom that you purchased for us so that we can be all that you have called us to be. Lord, I pray that you would speak to people tonight about their gifts, and you would let them know that their gifts are valuable and that their gifts are important and that their gifts mean something to the body of Christ. Lord, let us use our gifts to bring glory to your name, and then let this body grow. Not just this body, not just Bethel, but let the body of Christ grow. Let the Baptist church grow, because there was a fire in the Baptist church and people started serving the kingdom of God. Let the Methodist church grow. Let the Catholic church grow. Let the church of Christ go. God, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. And so I ask you, God, to move. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, speak to your people. We love you. We challenge you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's close with worship tonight, y'all.